For those of you that do not know my face, I am Johnny Carter. That is not really important. I have been several places preaching, and that's not as important except for the gospel being preached. But I really believe the Lord gave Brother Sam and I the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Amen. And he has had to endeavor to keep it, because sometimes I ain't real easy to get along with. Kind of opinionated, and told some of the brethren I went to 2 junior highs and 2 high schools in Houston, Texas. Provoked me to homeschool my children, but that's another story. We had to go to court in Arkansas. They issued a criminal warrant against me for homeschooling. That'll be it. If you can, if you're interested, wait till I get through eating, and then we'll take it up. On this last trip, had 2 guys with me, very established in what we call sovereign grace, or God's in charge, the providence of God. One from North Alabama, Nathan Green, one from Texas, Ron Miller. We left, headed to the island of Dominica on Monday, and we wound up on diverted to the island of Guadalupe. I called my wife, and she said, "Oh, I'm going to be praying harder." We got stranded there one time for 3 days and 2 nights. When we landed on the ground, the pilots went on strike. We left San Juan, went on back to San Juan, me begging them, let us stay here. There's a ferry right there, Caris, within a 2 mile, not even a mile and a half where we want to go. Oh, no, we are undocumented aliens. We're not even supposed to be on the island of Guadalupe. Our papers show none of that. So I give up. Next day we headed out, circled the same little island. There's thunderstorm down there. You can see it. I got a picture of it. The pilot had promised me, I had my Air Force cap on and my belt, and he said, "I can land on that island." I said, "Well, fine. But, you know, it's stormy down there, and I'd rather go around than go down." Well, he couldn't land. And we went to the island of Martinique, and people were griping. To give me time to testify about the God, his rules in heaven and earth. No man can stay his hand or say, "Why do I so?" So one or two of them jerked up. I said, "I don't know why you people are complaining. We're getting about a $3,500 tour of this part of the world at the expense of the airline. What do you want to gripe for?" Anyway, the next day we made it. And I had called the brethren. The brothers that would pick us up came Monday, 2-hour trip. They came Tuesday, 4-hour trip, round trip. So I called and said, "Don't come. We'll catch a ride." We got there and was trying to work through the hawkers and hecklers and such like. And I heard somebody say, "Brother Carter." Well, he knows me. In a turn, I didn't recognize him. I apologized later. "Brother Carter, you know me. You're a priest to me." Yes. We had helped start the church at St. Joseph. And he got us in the little bus van. And I said, "There's a couple here, young couple, we've been together 3 days. They come to the island of Dominica to spend their honeymoon. We could carry them." "Well, if you say so, of course, yeah." So that gave us another opportunity to talk to them. We did get eventually to the saints. And among the saints, we were able to preach. I did get back in with the Caribs, but because of the schedule, I did not get to stay like I wanted to and minister like I wanted to. So pray with me. It's been up front ever since I left. Tuesday night, the ministry went on. I was able to preach at a place I had never preached before. The brethren got me in on Sunday night. And I preached 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "We're bound to give thanks always." No, yes, always. There's no exceptions now. If you find the word "always" in the New Testament, it's not a misprint. There are no exceptions. "We're bound to give thanks always to God, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit unto belief of the truth." And we're going to look at one of them here in a little bit. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel." And the brother got up and he said, well, and the brother that introduced me said, Brother Carter, he's half American, half Dominican. So I gave my introduction in that dialect, that patois. And I finished up my introduction with this, and the white boy didn't know what I said. I said, Mosa parle anglais. Me can speak English. So I finished it in broken English, or actually a South Arkansas dialect. I could go on and on and on. Any question? Thank you, brothers and sisters, so much. Thank you so much. We were able to get one of the brothers another vehicle. He had probably the oldest car on the island, and it had been repaired and patched and repaired and repatched, and it was hammering and knocking and leaking transmission fluid, parts and pieces hanging. He'd bring it just as many as you could stack on it up into the church, and I said, well, no one is on top. He said, Pastor said, no one get on top. Little old car, little old Daihatsu or something. Anyway, it got a fire in the wire harness and ran the key, ignition. You had to order stuff, but it fell out of a box of them. So put one on there, and the windshield wipers would work and the brake lights. That's all. They get all, put another one on there. It would start and sputter and pop. That's all it would do. When nothing else worked. I said, forget it. The car is beyond sick. That's what I said. The car is sick. The car is sick. I said, the car is beyond sick. The car have died. So with your help and others, we're able to get the pastor a little bus van. I said, they don't use pastor much. It's not in the Bible much. They prefer elder or bishop. And he has it. Thank God. Thank y'all. Any question? Those of you that know me know better than to ask a question. It'd be another 30 minutes. Good to see y'all. Will you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2? What I would like to preach to you is this phrase, or really the truth behind this phrase, my gospel. Now, Paul's not on an ego trip. I thought it strange when I first read it. He said, according to my gospel. And I said, man, this guy, he's really projecting himself, but he's not. And then three times he says, our gospel. Romans chapter 2. God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I'm going to get there in a minute. I'm going to give you a little brief. And then secondly, we'll look at Romans chapter 16. God has power to establish you in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel, that the elect might obtain salvation. And then three times he says our gospel. Romans chapter 2. You got it? Verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now remember, the text is verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, but there's a lot of judgment going on here. Verse 3, and thinkest thou, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same things, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Did I say Greek in Gentile? Verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. I started to make up a little old thing. I had the idea about it. And get me an empty paper towel roll or something like that, some aluminum foil, maybe a coat hanger or two, and put that on the cap. And try to get one of y'all to wear it, and it would project your thoughts. Who wants to try it out? I'll volunteer, Brother Burns. You would. I promise you would. Because we all know we have thoughts that have to be brought into captivity. That's the power of the gospel. And so you would wear it, I would. I'll volunteer. Rest easy. And there'll be something foreign to my converted mind. I have the mind of Christ, but I got the same stupid, goofy brain. But what would follow that is my mind and my cry out to God. Do you know Jesus? How many people are Christians? Followers of Jesus Christ. You're messing up right there. This is his promise. You don't have to faith him. You don't have to clap him down. You don't have to shout him up. This is his promise. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's his promise, brother and sister. And he's here with us because he promises he would. Actually, in Psalm 22 and Hebrews 2, he comes to sing with us in our midst. Boy, that helped my singing. Now, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The secret intents of your heart. So if you're not a Christian this morning, and you're getting a judgment, not just what you have done, every idle word, but the secret intent of your heart. I call this the law of the gospel. If a fella ever faces that, he's a candidate for the good news. Yes. I'm calling this the bad news of the gospel. Reason the gospel is not good news to most of our family, friends, and neighbors and countrymen, they have not seriously considered, some of them may not have actually heard the bad news of the gospel. Now, there's no excuse. That's back in Romans chapter 1. There's no excuse that's in this chapter. It's written in their hearts and in their minds. Now, the truth will come out in God's righteous judgment. In chapter 1, the Gentile sinner is exposed. No religion. Another little thing is exposed. Wrong religion. And then the Jew man is exposed with the right religion. So, no religion, wrong religion, right religion, it's all the same. All are sinners. Right. And it comes out in the judgment of God, and it comes out under my gospel. Yes. I got to George preach a little bit to a couple of folks over this morning. What a great blessing. May not never see them again. I told them that. May not. You don't have to remember me. One fella here said, I said, my nickname for I'll say was Scarface. No, that's what he said. I said Stoneface. I developed that, Brother Harris, in two junior high and two high schools in Houston, Texas. I developed a Stoneface. Make them wonder what's going on back in there. This little fella. Wait a minute. Let me get back to this. Forgive me for projecting myself. Bear with me in my folly. In verse 1 through 11, we see that all will face their deeds. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. Good works always follow faith. I hope to pick that up later this morning. Now, religious hypocrites, verse 1 through 5, will face God's righteous judgment. Jews and Gentiles will face judgment for their evil living and disobedience. There is no respect of persons with God. I read that. The Gentiles had the knowledge of God. They have it until they go to that breakover point and God sends them a strong delusion. Or God gave them over, God gave them over, God gave them up. And reprobation, in that, back in this first chapter, where the word reprobation is at, reprobate, there's no period all the way to the end of the sentence. It's all one sentence. So if you continue on in any of that lifestyle presented in chapter 1, I'm not ashamed to preach against personal sin because it's in the Bible. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to preach. And if you want to know what God thinks about sin, you really want to know what God thinks about sin, look at the cross. He spared not his only begotten Son. You're not going to slip by him and squeak by him. They had the knowledge of God. They had the knowledge of good and evil. I read you that. They had their conscience bearing witness. They had the work of the law written. They have no excuse. They know better. Our wicked family and friends and countrymen know better. That's the reason they swell up and bow up and say little ugly words at you sometimes when you talk about a sin that they do it. Just preach one of my closest friend brother-in-law's funeral. Just preach. I broke down. I'm gonna try to keep my composure. He was very close. When he first showed up, he was a smart-aleck religious punk. I got to talking to him. He said, well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? And I said, Pete, this is what you're going to have to face, young man. It's wrong. If we believe the Bible, it's wrong, and you're doing it. And later on, when he came to Christ, God granted him repentance unto life. He said, that really stuck him. It's sin and you're doing it. We're talking about your conscience and your mind. You know good and evil. But people don't have to ask, is it all right to steal? The little kids, if they're going to steal something, why, they know. You don't have to ask if it's all right to lie. I'm just giving you a couple of them. I'll give you a good one. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I thought about I wouldn't. Some people think it's all right to commit adultery. We had some visitors in church the other day, and they came three Sundays in a row, and I hope it's conviction. I went and talked. She, after we closed, every time I looked at her, she's making eye contact. So I walked over and I called her name, and I said, you trying to listen? Can I help you a little bit? And she said, you know, we living together, and I said, I call that shacking up. It's adultery. She said, well, we living together, but I'm still married. There's the kind of people come. Thank God. I'm so glad. Praise God. That's the kind of people I didn't want my kids playing with, but I'm glad they're under the gospel. She said, we're living together, and I said, it's still adultery, still shacking up. She said, but I'm still married. And I'm 2 months pregnant with y'all taping this, ain't you? So I'm not going to use names. But you know who I'm talking about. You talk about a tangled up mess. Brother Sammy Byrne, dear co-labor friend of mine, I wish I'd have had one of them preachers with me that's got all the answers. My suspicion is, not just preachers, but some other people think they've got all the answers. My suspicion is they hadn't heard all the questions yet. That's the reason they think they got all the answers. Let me get back to this. Without law, they still are judged and perish in their sins. Now, the Jews had the law, but they did not live by it to obey it. Had to in all points or be guilty. They missed the spirit of the law and called themselves blameless concerning the law. The great apostle wrote that inspired of God for us. Listen, if you're close enough, look at chapter 3, verse 19, and the Bible will give us God's reason for the law. It never was for righteousness. There, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. And our church dogma and ordinance is the same thing. That's not righteousness. Actually, probably that's not even sanctification. Christ has made it into sanctification. But here's from the Bible, God's purpose for the law. Are you ready? Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I'm going to tell you from my experience, lo, these many years, 50 years plus, a fella is not really interested in the gospel message of salvation in Jesus Christ until he faces God's law as guilty. It ain't even as appealing to him as a cold drink. Some of them are cold beer. They'd rather have that. Oh, let me tell you this. It come up a while ago. I was a prisoner in jail, county jail, and we're going along there, and Brother Jimmy, he's a Christian, he said, anybody want to go to Bible study? Damn, blank, 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 blank. And this guy was in solitary confinement and had the little trap door open about like that, and he had his ugly face down there just cussing, fuming, cussing. I got where I could see. I didn't get close enough. He could get his arm out that hole. I didn't get that close. I got out, and I said, son, I feel so sorry for you. He said, don't you feel sorry for me, blank, 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 blank. And I said, I'm going to tell you why I feel sorry for you. I've been there. And I was so sorry, so wicked, so ungodly, I'd rather be there than be in church. Now, I wouldn't have said that, but I lived like that. And so, therefore, I feel sorry for you. I'm going to pray for you. And this is the truth. You're going to prove whether you'd be in jail or in church when they let you out. You're going to go back to doing the same things that got you here. You don't care about the church. You don't care about Christ. So I walked off. I said, I'm going to pray for you. Walked off. Next week, Jimmy went to rattling, and he said, anybody want to go to Bible study? And I come that big one, over here, over here, over here. Got down there, and Jimmy said, you know, you have to watch him. I said, well, there's a folding chair in there. If he gets out of order, I'll make him a bow tie out of that folding chair. I think I'm quicker than he is if he's sitting down. And the guy just looked at me. We got in there, and he said, I said, anybody got anything to say before we start? And he said, well, I tell you, I might as well tell you up front, I got no time for the Bible, and I got no time for the church. I said, you'll die in your sins. You'll perish in your sins because God has ordained both of those things for your salvation, the Word of God and the witness of the saints. And people, we have it. Our countrymen have it. Have they not all heard? Sure. Now, without the law, people are judged and perish in their sins. With the law, they perish in their sins. He concluded up there in verse 9 of chapter 3. What then are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have both proved before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. And he describes it down to there. My gospel. What is it? God judges sin. And God will judge the secret intents of men's heart. That's where the gospel begins to penetrate a fellow. This is a woe and woe and woe. Too many preachers aim at the brain of people. It's just a brain issue. If I can just get them to listen to me in my fine, polished, philosophical presentation. No, no, 10,000 times no. We have the old gospel for modern man, and God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Let's just stick with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's what God uses. But we got to warn people. There's some bad news in this book. And you need to face it. Actually, eventually you will. I still like for the so-called Jehovah Witness to come to my door. They liars, and they not cordial. They're a bunch of liars. Not one of those people, not one of those people has given me even half of the time I give them. And I tell them, all right, get started. I ain't interested in your literature, but you're going to talk about the Bible. I'm going to start your time. You give me the exact amount of time. Okay? Okay, now, and most of them won't start. And I say, I'm very polite. I'm a gentleman. I'm a Christian gentleman because of Jesus Christ. Now, when I say go, go. Go. And then they'll do it. And I'll chew my tongue, and I'll squeeze my hands, and I'll squirm and listen to their damnable heresies. And when it comes my turn, they won't stay. But I tell them when they start walking off, you will bow before Jesus Christ. You will give an account. You will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Twice the Bible said you shall. In Philippians it says you should. What's the difference? In Philippians it's the gospel time. You should. Listen, you should bow your knees and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. But you shall. You should now. Hey, it's grace. It's grace. Do it now and forever reap the benefits. You don't have to wait till heaven, new heaven, new earth to reap the benefits. I'm so glad I'm saved now, right now. Amen. Now, I said this, and one of mine and your friends said, now, I said, even if I was not a Christian, if there was no heaven to gain, no hell to avoid, knowing that, I could live like this, as opposed to the way I was living, I'd rather live like I'm living now than the way I did before. Now, I know a fellow's not saved by God's grace. Don't think like that. He's getting all the gusto he can. But just on the surface, I'd rather live the good church life than that other life. I promise you, I am not. I call the Holy Ghost to be my witness. Listen, that's a hard life. The way of the transgressor is hard. Well, you say there's a hardness to the life of the Christian soldier. Sure it is. But the commander-in-chief is with us. He'll get down in the ditch with us, bind us up, carry us to the end, represent the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll take care of us till he comes. Serve the devil. You get down, he steps in your stomach, steps in your face, and goes to get somebody else's life to ruin. My gospel, God's judgment, is according to works. Sinners are sinners without the law. Sinners are sinners with the law. Good works don't impress God. Cain tried that. I actually sat out in California. Some of you people interested, you can slip me a little lips here about the New Age movement. I can tell you who founded the New Age movement. Cain. And a bunch of church people. It's salvation by works. God did not accept Cain's very, very, very best works. And he won't accept yours. It's only in Jesus Christ. Now, according to my gospel, we live like we believe it. It's in the text. I'll give you a couple of examples. We was on the job, and I started talking to this guy. He had talked about, I said, Tebow, I need to tell you, you're going to come before Christ in the judgment, and you're going to give an account for every idle word. There is a judgment. You know that. You know there's a judgment, and you're going to be called into account. You know that. I mean, you live here in the Bible Belt Buckle. He looked around, looked at the other fellow, and he said, you believe what John's saying? He said, sure I do. And he said, you don't live like it. Illustration after illustration. I was visiting around our little village. Since you tell me that, I won't call it a dead horse town. We used to be a one horse town, but the horse died. I was visiting around there, and this devout woman said, I ain't coming to your church. And I said, do you mind telling me why? She said, I'll tell you why. You got hypocrites in there. Now, I was not thinking. I shouldn't have been caught back, but if I would have been thinking in my normal way of thinking, I would have said, well, you might as well come on, one more won't hurt. But I didn't. I said this, very seriously. I said, who are you talking about and what are they doing? People, that's the number one objection. I'm talking about my gospel. According to my gospel, people live like they're going to face Christ in his judgment. Anyway, that's a long story. I called her to it, and I said, if one of the people you're talking about is a follower of Christ, I'll go talk to them. If they are a follower of Jesus Christ, and they're blocking the way for you to come to Christ with their life, they'll come down here and apologize. She said, now, preacher, don't start no trouble. I said, no, ma'am, you got it started. Accusing one of my church family. It was sin. Anyway, I went to the truck. And the fellow was out there, opened the door for me. I said, well, he's really ready for me to go. He opened the door for me and stuck his hand out. I remember in that life, somebody gets you by the hand. If they left-handed, come pay-yow. I said, what's this represent? He said, I want to shake your hand. You shut my wife up and sent her down. I ain't never seen that done before. I said, Mr. Roy, I was serious. He said, she knowed it. So I got before the church and I told him the story. And I said, now, if she was talking about one of you, you better get it to God. And get it confessed. And repent. David is the man that said, I have sinned more than any other person in the Bible. So I consider at least one of the ways that David was a man after God's own heart was in humiliating repentance. I've sinned. If you got a Bible program, just put that in there and it'll draw it up for you. A lot of people said I've sinned, but to no avail. Now this power that Christ has now, and this power that he is, back to chapter 1, y'all are very well taught people. I will not go back to that, but it is the power of God. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is the power of God. Yes. Not the power of the Pope. I'm going to assume there's no Roman Catholics here. Not the power of the Pope. It is not the power of the preacher. Any other preachers here, it's not your power. It is not the power of the people. And it certainly is not a powerful program. It is the power of God unto salvation, and righteousness comes by revelation, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That's our gospel, my gospel. Maybe I'll get tired, but it's yours too. This is not that personal a thing. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You won't. To know what the Father does, he reveals Christ. Matthew chapter 11. I thought about preaching that, but I think I preached it before. The Father reveals Christ. Christ reveals the Father. No man comes to the Father except the Son reveal him. And here's the revelation. You ready? Come to Christ.
Yes.
That's what Jesus said. Come unto me. Oh, you're the weak and heavy laden. I like to put this out among devout church people. My burden is easy. Christ's burden is easy. The yoke is light. Hey, it's a warfare, but it ain't nothing like living in sin. Let me get back to this man. Acts 17, the great apostle calls out judgment. Judgment. By that man that God raised from the dead. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. One go-between. The man, Christ Jesus. Now, if I knew some of y'all had some Jehovah's Witness contamination, I'd address that, but I'm going to assume you don't. I got a good response while ago when I mentioned them. I didn't hear the ice crack. In the judgment, I remind you, the secret intent of your heart will be exposed and judged. Now, if a fella ain't mean looking, he said, well, I'm under grace, I'm not under law. If he ain't mean looking, I ain't afraid he'd get back at me. I said, I don't think you want it like that. I think you'd rather be under the law than under grace. Do you know why? The law says, reads, thou shalt not commit adultery. But grace and truth that came by Christ Jesus teaches us not to look to lust. By the way, I've said this to a couple of fellas that don't want a law. They're antinomian. Yeah, we don't need the law anymore. Well, would it be all right for your wife to commit adultery once a month? I said this on the university campus. She said, my friend and I are living together, and it's not dirty. It's not adultery like you people say. And I said, who told you it was adultery? How'd you get that idea? Where did that come from? God said it. That's another. Let me get back. I wasn't going to do all that. Oh, the Lord will come, 1 Corinthians 4:5, and will bring to light the hidden things and make manifest the counsel of the hearts. Don't trust in your works. Now let me say something to us Christians. Judgment is ongoing. Matter of fact, it definitely should precede the Lord's table. And this is one of the things that's very important to us. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But we neglect it. That's my part. And when we are judged, we're chastened. Why? That we be not condemned with the world. So I'm going to say to you, if you have never faced the judgment of God, you've never come before His judgment bar, I strongly recommend you do that. And when you get there, you be honest and plead guilty. Guilty. Judgment in the believer is ongoing. Matter of fact, let me put this in. This love that's shed abroad in our heart, we love God and we love our brothers. That's in 1 John. And what? Our love is made perfect in this living out of the love of Christ in our heart. Now here's the truth. Verse 29 of Romans chapter 2. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. God desires truth in the inward parts. It's in our heart, in our spirit. That's what we do, Brother Sammy, when we preach the word of God. The Holy Spirit takes this word and takes it to a man's heart. Now, the mind matters. It really matters. But it's beyond that. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes and lodges in your heart, you're going to live it. And when you don't, you're going to repent. Say, oh, God, help me here. Now, listen. We are the circumcision of the heart. Worship God. This is Philippians chapter 3. We worship God in the Spirit. In the Spirit. What that means to me is our spirit is open to God. We have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. And religious people don't think you can have that. I know that because the high priest commanded the centurion to smite Paul on the face. Why would the religious leader want this soldier to hit him because he said he had a conscience void of offense toward God and man? Because religious people know you can't have a clean conscience. You come, you tolerate the meeting, and you get up and go, and still your conscience is not clean. Why? You have not opened up to the Lord. I feel it coming. Hallelujah! We just opened up to God. You know what? I've heard it said like that. And the psychiatrist tried to get me to bare my soul. I said, I done that. It's a mandatory thing. I'm in the VA healthcare system. You know, I got a little mental problem. If I could get her to write it down on paper, I'd have papers to prove it, and I'd get 100% disability. But we have gotten my vanity to come to know it. My Lord, I wasn't going to put all that in. That's Brother Barney Bryant's job to tell that. We worship God in the Spirit. Our spirits are open to God. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Our joy is that Christ found us. We His joy. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When? Before the foundation of the world, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, my gospel is this. We have denied ourselves. Repented toward God. We come before His judgment bar. He's the judge of the universe. And we come before. It's a throne of grace. It's not, hey, just call me Jesus. I read a stupid thing like that. A woman wanted me to read it and give her a comment on it. I read it, and this fella poster went to heaven for 18 hours, and Jesus and him was buddy, buddy, buddy. It's sick. She come back the next night, and she said, did you read my article? And I said, yes, ma'am. Are you sure you want me to tell you? You want me to critique it? I know some of those big words, I just don't use them much because I'd get biopsy and autopsy crossed up, and that'd be embarrassing. Y'all listen so well. Thank God. You know why it's easy to preach the Bible here? Because y'all are accustomed to it. And the opposite is true. Believe me, it's hard to preach the Word of God some places because they're not accustomed to it. We have declared our faith in Jesus Christ. We are not ashamed of our faith and good works in Christ, which is Christ in us, our hope. And we, as believers and followers of Christ, we come to that throne. It's a throne of grace. We come before that throne occasionally. And I was whining and I said, Lord, it's me. And I done messed up again. Lord, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I don't know if you want to hear me. And here come Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. God delights in the prayer of the upright. Now, our uprightness is Jesus Christ. That's what God delights in. In His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's according to my gospel. I trust it is yours. The heathen and religious hypocrites get very uncomfortable under the preached, lived, and witnessed word. They start getting uncomfortable, and they blow up. They really will. And the saint draws closer in comfort and assurance. We plead guilty. It's me, Lord. Now, no, I'm not going to tell you. I was on the university campus, so a very important thing happened. And this sicko was talking about the virgin birth. I won't tell that other part. And he said, wow, awesome. God committed adultery with a virgin. I love it. I said, hey, sicko, you better get your mind above your belt buckle, probably for the first time since you hit puberty. You're going to meet him, and you're going to give an account. The same God that took dust and made a man prepared a body in a virgin's womb. And he was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect, absolutely perfect life in 100% obedience to his father. The good church people demanded the government to kill him. They did, a little reluctant at first, but since he was a threat, they did. And it was God's predetermined plan. God had before ordained it. It would happen. They would be held accountable and guilty. You're not going to blame God. Just like he said, 3 days and three nights he came forth from the grave. Showed himself to many people. Over 500 at one time. He rules and reigns now as our priest. High priest. To communicate from us to God. As our prophet. To communicate from God to us. As our king, to rule and reign. And I'm so glad he came.
Amen. Thanks, Brother Johnny. We'll take about 10 minutes or so break, and then we'll...